I wanted this morning to talk to you about prayer, but I thought sometimes we don't even know what we mean when we say prayer. So this message is entitled Talking to God. Our values are displayed on our website. Ta-da! And they're always good to look at from time to time to check where you are in life. And they remind us as a church about the core things that influence us and control what we believe. I'm going to just give you two little quotes from that page of values. The first one, which this is what the one we call our prime value, the one of relationship. We believe that being a Christian is all about relationship, a vibrant and connected walk with God the Father through Jesus Christ and empowered by the Holy Spirit. We believe that living in relationship with God is the best choice we can make, and that life is great when that relationship is well maintained. And then moving on to the value of worship, it says this: we value the opportunity to enjoy spiritual encounters and experiences with God, to journey through life with Him, to talk to Him, and to thank Him, both personally and corporately. Basically, people, as a church, we believe in the power of prayer. My family and I have been away at Ingleton this week, and we did the pub quiz. And we thrashed the locals. We won! Whey! And one question that we did get right, but virtually nobody in the room got right, was, what would you find in a missile? Now, of course, I wanted to say a nuclear warhead, or, you know, at least something explosive. But the answer, of course, are prayers. But when I'm talking to you about prayer today, we're using this title, Talking to God, because it's got to be more than something you read from a book. I'm not saying you shouldn't ever do that. Some prayers that you can read that other people wrote are very inspiring. For a start, look at the Psalms. But what I am saying is, your prayer life has got to be more than something you read that someone else wrote. You have got to be able to express yourself to God. I'm not going to repeat what he said, but I remember praying with a man when I was young, and he gave his heart and life to Jesus. And on the first night of his walking with Jesus, he began to pray and he cursed the devil. And I'm not going to say what he said to the devil, but it was in a language that he had grown up with and was familiar with. But do you know something? I turned to the man who stood next to me and I said, wow, did you feel something when that man prayed? You know, I felt the hairs on the back of my neck stood on end. Not because I was embarrassed at his language, but because that man was in respect expressing his heart to God. And you know what? There are probably better forms of language to use than he used that day. But what matters is we must be able to talk to God. This week, a friend of mine has been told that his wife will die soon. We all know people like this. But when it comes close to you, we think again, don't we? I'm not even sure now how many years ago it was that they told me that my wife would die soon. I think it was maybe 5 years ago. She was asleep 23 hours a day for almost 3 weeks and weakening. And when she had a lucid moment, because I sat by her bed most of that time, she asked me if I would write a book about her death, as I did about the death of our son. And we agreed that I would call it At Least It's Not Snowing. And at that time, we had everything sorted out. We knew what she wanted at the funeral, you know, everything was sorted out. But what I did at that time, and as I was trying to talk to my friend this week, I was thinking about what I did when I was in that position. And, you know, the phrase that just came in my mind was, I lent in to Jesus. My talking with Jesus was very intimate and quite long-winded. And sometimes I was in talking with him and out of talking with him, because you have to get on with life, don't you? But it's important that we understand that we can talk to Jesus. You know, cancer is a terrible word. But we need to remember with things like that, that it's only a word. It is only a word. And I know another word, Jesus, that's a much more powerful word. If I said to you, you've got Jesus, that overcomes cancer. That overcomes anything else. It really does. And I know some of us die of cancer. I know that. But I want to encourage you, even that's not the worst thing. The worst thing is dying without Jesus. And I want to talk to you for a few minutes about our conversation with God today. I've been married to my wife for 35 years. I wouldn't still be married to my wife if we didn't talk. If I didn't talk to her and if she didn't talk to me. Talking is the essence of relationship. And you know that I believe in a relational God. If you have a religion but no relationship, you are missing out on talking to Jesus. You know, it's not, have we ticked these boxes today? I grew up with a father who had a crucifix at the bottom of the stairs with a pot of holy water. And when he came down in the morning, he would wipe himself with the holy water. And you know, it's you know, if that does something for you, well, I'm not knocking it, but what I am saying is, if all of your connection to God are things you do, then you are missing out on the truth of the gospel, which is Jesus came to have a relationship with his people, to mend, to reconcile man to God, so that once again we could really talk to him. We had 1 Thessalonians 5 read to us, and in verse 17, it says one simple thing to us about prayer. It says, pray constantly. Now, you might say to me, well, I can't do that. I've got a family to raise. I've got a job to do. You might have both of those things and more. But we can talk to God where we are. Sometimes, when I'm walking here in the morning, I become a little bit aware all of a sudden that maybe people are watching my lips. And, of course, most of the time you can get away with it, because these days people walk around with earbuds in and they're talking to people on the phone, and you can walk up to them, and as you're approaching them, they'll say, I was telling you this, and you think, oh, they're on the phone. And they may be singing along with what's going through their earbuds. So it's not unusual these days for you to say something, except when you're saying, in the name of Jesus. And people walk past you and you think, oh, well, maybe did them good as well. But what am I saying to you? I'm saying that when you're walking, you can talk to God. When you're driving, you can talk to God. It's really important that you don't close your eyes when you're talking to God when you're driving. I hope you heard that bit. That's very important. It's really vital that we learn to talk to God. Our lives should be in and out of the prayer zone all the time. There are times when we can't pray. I remember when I was managing a branch of PC World, and a guy came in very, very angry, and I saw his fist coming towards my face. And there was no time for a long-winded prayer, but I just said aloud, Jesus, and then his fist hit me on the nose. Anyone who knows me well will know that I'm not the sort of man to stand up to that. I'm the sort of man to fall on the floor and whimper. But I didn't fall on the floor. He fell on the floor. My nose didn't bleed. His nose bled. In fact, he got it all for his thump, but I got nothing of it. And if you could just have seen my staff, their faces were like epic, saying, "What happened to Redmond there?" Because God answered that prayer. And you know what? Sometimes when we've been in the deepest, darkest place, God has answered prayer. When my son died, as I held his hand while he was laying on his mother's knee, my only prayer was, "God, my son, my only son." And there in the room, an audible voice spoke to me, "It's okay. You see, I know that feeling." And that was all I needed. It would have been lovely if he hadn't died, don't get me wrong. But there and then, what I needed was to know that God knew what I was going through. And God saw me through that, and God has continued to see me through that 17 years we've walked without our son. We only walked with him for 7 years. You know, but the truth is, we still remember him, we still love him, and we know he's with God. But, and we don't just say that because some people just say things like that. We say it because my son had a relationship with Jesus. But this morning, I need you to understand this. We need to keep our relationship polished and working. We need to keep our connection with God living and vital. And if at any one moment, if your prayer is simply, "Jesus!" That's okay. That's fine. If your prayer is very long-winded, "Lord, I want to talk to you about my leg. You know how long I've had it. Lord, we want you to undertake for the funeral tomorrow." I've heard some funny prayers in my time. But whatever it is, talk to God. You might say, "God doesn't want to hear from me." That's a lie from the devil. God does want to hear from you, and he is desperate to hear from you. He is waiting to hear from you, but you have to speak. You can say, "Well, if God does this, I will talk to him." Don't erect walls between yourself and God. Start the conversation. He wants to hear from you. Let me say something to you. When we call together the congregation for corporate prayer, it's really important, and I would encourage you to be part of it. But listen to this very carefully. You praying is more important than being at the prayer meeting. It's really important that you're at the prayer meeting, but it's vital that you pray. It's vital that you talk to God. So, we need to follow the model. Anyone remember Airfix? I wasn't very good with glue. I would get glue all over them. And they'd stick together, but my fingers would stick to them as well. And I was rubbish at painting. So most of mine were completed but unpainted. But there is a model in the Bible for prayer. It's in Matthew chapter 6. And it goes like this: "Therefore, you should pray like this." Now, we get ourselves mixed up, and we then say the next things as if they were a prayer in themselves. And I'm not saying that it's always wrong to do that. What I'm saying is we miss the true power of it if we don't treat it as the model of prayer that Jesus taught us. This is the model. Our Father in heaven, your name be honoured as holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, or from evil, depending on the translation you read. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. When we talk to God, one thing we should always do is base it relationally. He is, after all, our Father. Talk to your God relationally. He's Dad. He's Abba. He's Father. And you should honour him. God taught us to honour our father and mother. It's one of the Ten Commandments. And it's got a special promise with it. It says, if you keep this one, you'll live. When we talk to our Father, we should honour him too. And you don't have to work out a system of words. You don't even have to copy other people. You don't have to listen to the pastor and write down what Stephen said so you can say it. But you do have to talk to him with honour and recognise his goodness and kindness in your life. When we talk to God, we should talk of his goodness and kindness and the way he's blessed us and thank him for all of that. We should honour our God. And we should say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We can get this slightly mixed up. Your kingdom come, your will be done. They're a couplet. Jesus is saying here the same thing twice. He's saying we should pray that the will of God comes on the earth. We should pray that the kingdom of God comes on the earth, because the kingdom of God coming is the will of God. And we need to make sure that we pray for the kingdom of God to come. What did Jesus say when the Pharisees accused him of all sorts of rubbish? He said to them, when I cast out demons and do miracles before you, that's the finger of God, and that tells you the kingdom of God has come amongst you. The message that Jesus gave us always was, the kingdom of God is nearby. The kingdom of God is here. And we need to pray that the kingdom of God comes into Monkgate. We need to pray that the kingdom of God comes into York, into Hubie. We need to pray that the kingdom of God comes out in the Sticks, where you are, brother. We need to pray that the kingdom of God comes where we are. We need to pray that the kingdom of God comes powerfully in people's lives. Some people have different ideas about what the scripture teaches. I don't believe the scripture tells us much about our entitlement as much as the kingdom of God coming, and that we should pray for the kingdom of God to come. When we pray and people are healed, the kingdom of God has come. The kingdom of God has manifested in their lives. And you know what? Jesus himself tells me to pray this. No one can tell me it's not right to pray for sick people to be healed. Because Jesus said, when you pray, pray, your kingdom come. Jesus explains what that means. When the kingdom of God comes, miracles happen. Power comes from God. And when you are talking to a generation that were obsessed with dominating the countries around them and were continually focused on David and Solomon and the huge realm that they dominated of this world. And the Jews that Jesus was speaking to all the time were thinking of, how can we revolt against the Romans? We're looking for a Messiah that will overcome Rome. But Jesus was looking to bring the kingdom of God. And to those people in that time, for the kingdom of God to come must have been A, confusing, and B, very incomprehensible. For us, it's not as hard because we live in a free country. He said, making the symbol of quotation marks, because I realise that those of you listening on the internet don't see my hands. But what really matters is that we pray the kingdom of God into our land. And then he talks about asking for our needs, and in a parallel statement, forgiving our debts. We're asking for what we need and forgiving our debts. And just as we had this fantastic testimony this morning about debts forgiven, our debts to God, our sin, when we confess it, there is one who is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And we should always forgive others, because in verse 14 of chapter 6 it says, "For if you forgive people their wrongdoing, your heavenly Father will forgive you." But, and this is a big but, if you don't forgive people, your Father will not forgive your wrongdoing. And we need to remember people to be a forgiving people. Learn to forgive quickly. Don't delay in forgiving. Believe me, it's not worth going to bed that night with unforgiveness in your heart. You can have a rant for half an hour. You can vent it, but please, please forgive quickly. Because maybe you don't need it, but I need the forgiveness of God. And therefore I have learned to forgive quickly. We also need to follow the Master. We'd just been away in Ingleton and we saw a scene like this. A man walking across the hill and loads of sheep following him. Luke 5, verse 16 says, "Jesus often withdrew to deserted places and prayed." Jesus prayed. Now, of all people who had a relationship with the living God, he had such a relationship that he danced with the Father and the Spirit. You know, we've talked about this before. This is the early church's representation of what it meant to be Trinity. They talked about the dance of the Trinity, that the Father would lead the Son, and then the Son would lead the Spirit, and then the Spirit would lead the Father, and that they would all take a turn in leading, but they were one in their dance. And it's important that we recognize that Jesus prayed. And if you want to read Jesus praying, just read John chapter 17. And read particularly from verse 20, where Jesus prays for us in this room. Jesus prays for those who would believe on the message of his disciples. And when you read what Jesus prays for us, you know, it's good in your prayer life to remind the Father of the prayer of his Son and say, "Lord, we want to see this." I have to be honest with you. When I was a young man, I never believed I would ever live to see the unity that we have in church leadership in this city today. You know, I grew up in a different town and all the church leaders hated each other's guts in a very loving way. I was talking to an American friend last year, and he told me that in the city, big city in which he pastors, he went to this big thing with the mayor, and there's all these church leaders lined up behind the mayor, and not one of them would be seen saying hello to the others. You know, thank God for the unity that God is bringing amongst the churches in this city. I thank God for that. But remember the prayer of Jesus. Follow the Master. It's very important that we follow Jesus. And, you know, you can have all sorts of wonderful ideas about what prayer should be, but follow what Jesus said, because that will get you a long way. My fourth point today, and there are only four, so I'll make this one as long as I can. You don't know. Well, if in doubt, pray. Do you know something? It should be obvious. Sometimes some of you will ring me up in a blind panic, and I don't mind that. That's what I'm here for. But what I will normally say to you is, "Come on, let's pray." And the fact is, when we are in a panic, we need to pray. Sometimes you need to pray whilst dialing 999. Sometimes we need to understand that prayer should be so automatic. And you know, usually when we pray, things get better instantly. The darkness is dispelled. The problem is minimized. Our anxiety is reduced. The Apostle Paul said, be anxious about nothing. And you look at that and you say, that's a bit hard. I've been a passenger this last week. After an operation, you can't drive for 14 days. So I've had 14 days off driving. And I tell you what, I'm a nervous passenger. I'm fine when I'm driving, but in the passenger seat, you don't want me in your passenger seat. You really don't. Particularly not when I'm trying to use the brake when you're driving. It's very, very embarrassing. It really is. You know, it's easy to say don't be anxious about anything, isn't it? But the Bible does say that. And when we pray, our anxiety levels fall. I guarantee you that's the case. It doesn't mean you might not be in a heightened state of alert in your heart, life, mind, spirit for a while. You know, when our son was having chemotherapy and radiotherapy, we were 9 months before we knew he wouldn't die today. And then it was, you know, they told us, you can be certain he's all right for a couple of days. And then it became a week. And we lived like that for so long. And then when they told us to take him home and let him die with us, they gave him 3 weeks to live. And we lived with him for 5 months, to the point when we didn't even think he would have died. But anxiety is a natural thing. And sometimes we have to face it for a while. What we want is instant coffee, instant pizzas. I saw the other day a pizza, and it said on it, heat for 1.5 minutes. I thought, you must be joking. You can heat a pizza up in 1.5 minutes. I wouldn't want to even put that in my mouth after 1.5 minutes. But you know what? We want instant everything. We do. And we don't get it. We don't get instant everything. Except instantly the presence of God is with you when you pray. Instantly God is with you. And people sometimes say to me, I feel like God is distant. Well, my advice to you is move up closer. Because I have never found that God left me. I have only ever found that I had left God. We can get so caught up with this life. And you know what? I'm not pointing a finger at anybody today and saying, you sinner, you've left God. What I'm saying is, it's a normal part of life. We get caught up with stuff. But let's keep returning close to God. If you don't know, ask. Jesus says, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and it will be found. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. If you feel alone, talk to God. Talk to God. If there's no one in the house with you, have a talk. If you feel weak, pray. If you feel strong, pray. But let's talk to God. If any one of you is suffering, he should pray, James says. Paul says, with every prayer and request, pray at all times in the Spirit. And stay alert in this, with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. Do you know what perseverance is? Yeah, keeping going. You know, I have often prayed the prayer, Lord, give me patience. And give me it right now! We have to learn patience. We have to learn that when we're talking to God, he's already active on our behalf. And we know that in all things, God is working for the good of those who love him. That doesn't mean that everything that happens to you is good. Because let me tell you, when you need your gallbladder taking out, that's not good. When you have a heart attack, that's not good. When your son gets cancer, that's not good. But in all of it, God is working the bad to bring good out, to bring opportunities for good in our lives. The thing itself is not good, but God will start working good the minute we pray. I read a great book this year by Scott McKnight, one of the world's leading theologians. And it's an easy-to-read paperback. It's not one of his normal academic ones. And I can't remember the name of it. Something like The Humming of Wings or something. But it's about angels. And in it, he gives loads of examples of how angels are working on our behalf. You know, it's a great thought. When you start praying, God charges angels. Joan's praying. Gabriel, go and look after Joan now. And I believe it happens. I really believe it happens. If you don't know, pray. And if you do know, then pray with understanding. If you don't know, pray in the Spirit. And if you don't know how to pray in the Spirit, just speak in tongues. And if you don't speak in tongues, well, just ask God, and he'll give you that. Romans 8, verse 26, in the same way, the Spirit also joins us to help in our weakness, because we do not know what to pray for, as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with unspoken groanings. I remember listening to Paul Walker, who's a church leader in Florida, and leading a big church in America, he had a yacht. And, well, not a big yacht, but a sailing boat. And he had gone sailing in that area of Florida near the Bermuda Triangle. It wasn't the Bermuda Triangle, but, you know, in that area where storms do come up. And when he was out sailing, he was asleep in his boat in the night, and this storm flew up, and he had to get up and try and sort the boat out, and he at one point slipped off the deck and was hung on by one hand on the boat, and he was just trying to claw himself up, and he recovered his footing and he secured the boat. There was a lot of damage to the boat. But in the morning, everything was all right, and he got back home safe. And he walked into church on the Sunday morning, and this dear old lady in his congregation said to him, "Oh, Pastor, I'm so relieved to see you. Where were you on Friday night?" And so he said, "What do you mean?" She says, "Oh, I woke up at 2 a.m., and I was praying for you in the middle of the night, and I didn't know what to pray, so I was just praying in tongues. And, you know, all of a sudden, I just had the sense that God had saved your life, and I went off to sleep." And he looked at the time, thought, 2 a.m. That was when I was hanging off the edge of the boat by one hand. And you know something? When we pray in tongues, we don't always realize the power in it. But if you don't know what to pray, pray with the Spirit. Finally, in conclusion, don't panic. This week, I referred in our house to the ravenous bug bladder beast of Tral, which, according to the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, is a vicious wild animal from the planet of Tral, known for its never-ending hunger and its mind-boggling stupidity. I think sometimes we do face the ravenous bug bladder beast of Tral. It's insatiable. It always wants another piece of us. And I just want to say to you, Paul says in Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything, but, and these buts in the Bible, the big buts, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. It's the answer, people. Our prayer life, our talking to God, is the answer for everything. Sometimes you talk to God for a while. I talked to God for 2 years about my gastric problem. And then one Sunday morning, I just came out to the front and I just believed that I could sort of see Jesus there. And I bent down and I touched where the hem of his garment was. And I thought, everybody must be looking at me and thinking I was a nutter. And do you know what? Stopped. I never had another minute's problem. My doctor thought it was hilarious, but I never had another minute's problem. But I was 2 years praying that one through. And sometimes I've been 2 minutes. When I was 32 or 3, I can't even remember when it was now, I had been praying for my own eyesight for years. Well, since I'd been about 18. When I went to university, I started with pressure sores behind my ears from constantly wearing spectacles. And the skin was very thin, just above my ears. And when we got married, my wife used to bandage them, and because she was a nurse, she was very paranoid about sores, bed sores and all types of sores. And I tried contact lenses, and they were fine, but contact lenses were not like they are now. And you couldn't wear them all the time. You had to wear glasses part of the time. And I remember one day having some time off work and just going out for the day and praying. And that night, I came to church and I'd brought my glasses with me and my two pairs of contact lenses, which I rotated. And I tore the contact lenses in front of people and I put a hammer through my glasses and I said, now let's see what God can do. Up to that time, I couldn't even find where my own toilet was without my glasses. I couldn't go anywhere. And I'd driven there 23 miles that night. And I had 23 miles drive home. And you know what? God healed me. In an instant. I didn't have to wait for ages. God healed me. Sometimes it's instant. Sometimes it's fine. And look at me now, you know. I'm a mature man now. I've redefined middle age, by the way. I'm now in my middle age. I've gone years and years and years. And God has been good to me. He's been good to my eyesight. Don't panic. Just pray. Will you stand with me? Father, we just want to say we're sorry that we don't always talk to you as much as we should. Father, help us not to be distant from you, but to talk to you. Help us to express ourselves to you, because you know what we're thinking anyway, so why should we hide it? Help us to be honest, and help us to be very quick to forgive others. And we ask you, Father, that for all of us, we should learn the power of prayer and see it manifest in our lives day after day. And we pray that even over this next week, you might give all of us the opportunity to record an answer to prayer. We do ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.